consider the areas of your life and your business that are screaming at you to create boundaries and start there. And remember, I want for you to know that like you can evaluate, change, shift, and evolve your boundaries at any time. These are yours.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a 7-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast.
Boundaries. Does anyone feel like it's a buzzword these days? I feel like everywhere I turn, it's a podcast host, an influencer, my best friend, or a therapist on Instagram. Everyone seems to be talking about the importance of establishing and setting and keeping and communicating boundaries. My therapist recently said that boundaries protect what is most sacred. And I love that idea because I've had to learn and relearn and remind myself over and over and over again that boundaries aren't meant to keep people or opportunities or things out of my life. Boundaries keep me in my life. So whether we're talking about our professional hustle or our personal relationships, boundaries have to be a part of the conversation and consideration. And maybe you already know that, but you've wondered, How can I set these boundaries that can strengthen and not hurt my goals, my purpose, my work? And like, how do we define these guardrails in the first place and ensure that we're thinking about our needs, but also other people's needs? Inside today's episode, we're getting real about how setting and keeping boundaries might not be easy, but I want to give you questions and prompts that you should be asking yourself and taking into consideration when setting personal boundaries, as well as professional ones with your team and clients, even with your loved ones. We're also talking about boundaries of things like social media. So today is all things boundaries in this episode. Grab your favorite beverage and a pen and paper and take notes. Let's dive on in. Oof, growing pains hurt. And when you're a marketer trying to generate leads for your brand new business, you know the pain all too well. Thankfully, there's HubSpot for Startups, a special program that gives startups discounts on HubSpot and so much more. But first, let's talk about the platform. The platform that unites your entire front office from marketing to sales to support. The platform that streamlines your support tickets, generates more leads, and increases sales. The platform that scales right along with you. Oh, and don't even get me started on the educational articles, industry reports, videos, tips, templates, literally everything founders need to help scale. HubSpot for Startups has it all. So get ready to build a brand everyone loves and make your startup growing pains a thing of the past. Visit HubSpot.com/startups to see how much you can save. That's HubSpot.com/startups. So today I'm going to take you on a journey and I'm going to lead you through a lot of different areas and places that I want for you to consider where boundaries should be in your life and how to apply this. But I really wanted to start this episode with personal boundaries, like us as a person. And when I think about my journey as an entrepreneur over the last decade and all the different things I've encountered, most of the times that I've had really hard stages or seasons were the places where I had to learn the hard way that I needed to have better boundaries. And when I think about boundaries, I think a lot of times we equate them to having boundaries around work or boundaries around relationships. But I really, really believe that if we can start with first the personal boundaries, then as we expand, we're already protecting what is most sacred. And that is our connection to ourself and that inner voice and our intuition and all of these powerful guides that are trying to reach us, but we're likely too busy to even notice. So first, I want to take you back to one of the first and the hardest ways that I learned that we all need boundaries. And it was when I first became a wedding photographer. So a lot of you know about my journey. I worked in corporate America. I bought a $300 camera on Craigslist. Over the next year, I did both of those jobs at the same time so that I could build a wedding photography business from scratch. And then I left that corporate job. And one thing about me is that, like, if I have work to do, I can't rest. It is something I've tried to break within me. I've always just been this high achiever. There's this story I tell myself that I'm unpacking in therapy of if I just push harder and if I just do more, everything will be okay. And so I have a really hard time unplugging. And I actually tell this story in my book, How Are You Really? About when I really hit burnout. And it was this phase of wedding photography. I was shooting 30 weddings in a summer, which if you live in the Midwest, it's condensed from like basically May until October. And so I was shooting one or two weddings every single weekend. And then all week long, I was editing during the week. And I tell this story in my book about how Drew and I went to this apple orchard so that I could shoot this engagement session. And I was super happy and I was posing them and the photos are gorgeous. They're still gorgeous to this day. And I remember just like collapsing into the car. And I said to him, I said, do you think they can tell? And he's like, do you think they can tell what? And I was like, do you think they can tell how utterly exhausted I am right now? And it was this place in my life where like I had no boundaries. I would sleep with my laptop on my nightstand. I was always available. I said yes to everything. And I think when I look back, there was this level of imposter syndrome. There was this level of scarcity. There was this fear that it wasn't going to work out, that I'd have to go back to corporate America. There was a lot around that to be unpacked. And so my first thing that I want for you to really think about is, what is your boundary around when will you work and when will you unplug? And what does that look like? And I am not anti-hustle culture in the sense of like, I don't think hustle is required. I think hustle is absolutely required to get your dream off the ground in different stages of your business. Hustle is required. But if hustle is the only way that you can sustain or grow your business, if hustle is the only way that you can get paid, you're going to burn out. It's not going to be good. And so I want for you to think about, what does this look like? Like, when I was burning the candle on both ends, I was working 50 plus hours a week at a corporate job with a commute. And then I would go home and be building my blog and booking clients and doing all of the business stuff. I like started my entrepreneurial journey like so many of us do, where working crazy hours was just the only way to get it going. But I never realized that like once I actually made the leap into full-time entrepreneurship, that something could change. And I didn't change it until I totally hit burnout. And so maybe you sit down after listening to this episode and you ask yourself, okay, what am I going to do for work? And then when am I going to be off? And what does that off look like? The next thing that I want for you to consider, and this is going to look different for every single person, especially based on whatever area of your life you find yourself in, but what do your conversations look like about work with your partner, with your family, with your children, with whoever is in your close sphere of influence? Drew and I rarely talk about business or work. I was actually just telling one of my team members about this. We were talking about like, you know, how much does your spouse know about what you do or your day to day? And somehow we've sunk into this place in our life that I love where we don't really talk about the work I do. And I love it. I don't feel undervalued. I don't feel misunderstood. Like, I have people in my life like Amy Porterfield who want to talk about work with me. Like, my husband wants me to just be with him and the kids. And like, he doesn't need to hear about like webinar registrations. Like, for example, the other night we were getting ready for bed. I was so excited. We're in this launch. We're just like crushing our goals. And I tried to explain something to him about like why I was so excited. And he asked like the dumbest follow-up question to me. And I had no patience. And I was just like, you don't even get it. I don't even know why I tried to tell you this. And I felt so bad because he was trying to be excited for me and trying to understand it. And I was like, just reminded of like, he doesn't need to know everything to like value what I do. So we have kind of gotten to this place of like, if there's anything he needs to know about work, I'll let him know. I kind of give him like a rough overview of what I'm working on or things like that. But like, we don't really talk about work. And I think that is in part because I've watched a lot of my friends navigate entrepreneurship where either they work with their partners or the partners are involved or invested or they have opinions and all they do is talk about work. And like, I want to work to live, not live to work. And so for me, creating a boundary of like, I'll give you like a quick synopsis of my week, but like, otherwise you don't really need to know all the intricacies and you don't care to know anyways. that has been so helpful for us. And so maybe establishing what those boundaries look like, especially too, when you're starting out and you might be more influenced by people's opinions of things, really getting clear on like, who am I going to let in to what I'm working on? Who even cares to be let in? And what does that look like? And I think that's a really powerful boundary to really explore for different individualized relationships and to figure out like what feels good and what supports you the most in the ways that you need it. Okay. Number three is, how will you plan for life events with your work? So many of us have heard this analogy. I've heard it even recently. I feel like it's like the universe, like giving me this sign of that story of like putting big rocks in first and then little rocks. It's a story about this professor who tries to show his students. So he has this big mason jar. He pours in a bunch of sand, which is all the little things that we do every day, checking email, posting on social, getting contracts signed, invoicing, all these things. And then he tries to fit these big rocks in, which is like your values, like your life, travel, relationships, rest. And the whole visual of this exercise is to show if you place the big rocks in first, the sand will fit around it. So you have to get very clear on what is most important to me. How do I make sure those get planned for first and let all the little stuff fall around it? And so what is your planning process going to be where it comes, where like life and business intersect? For me, it's been a really interesting phase of life because we have things like Coco has winter break from school, or she has these random Fridays where she's off of school and different things like that. And so like I have to mature in motherhood in a way of like, I am prepping and planning of like all of these different things, or her friends' birthday parties or different things like that, that are very important, not only to her, but also to me. And so I have to plan my work around those things. And I think that for a lot of us, we'll hit December 31st and we're like, oh man, like I didn't get to visit my grandparents as much as I thought, or I really wanted to take that trip with my best friends and that didn't happen, or I missed so-and-so's wedding because I had a work event. And so figuring out like, how are you going to plan your life first? And then how are you going to plan your work around that? And again, thinking of the big rocks, first establish what are they? Second, when are they? And how do you protect those? And then how do you let everything else fall around it? And so, you know, there were so many times in my early days as a wedding photographer where I was booking out a year in advance. I missed one of my best friend's weddings. I still think about it. I missed my cousin's wedding. Like there's just different things that I missed out on because of work. And again, some of it you can't really account for, but I remember those things. I remember things that were very important that I wasn't able to be at because of work. And so thinking through big rocks first and then the small rocks and letting all those things fill in. And the other thing that has been super helpful for me is holding my plans more loosely. So yes, I have plans and visions. Yes, I have things planned out for the rest of the year, but how do I kind of hold it a little bit more loosely with a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more grace? And I think that has been really helpful because I don't feel directionless. I don't have no plans. I have plans, but I'm also kind of holding them loosely and just allowing them to like ebb and flow and pivot and transform throughout the year as I continue to transform.
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best. You're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply.
Number 3 was, how do you plan for life events with your work? Number 4, when is enough enough and when is it not working? So like, what is your enough point? Again, this is another chapter in my book. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, but when are you going to slow down, or when are you going to let enough be enough? Drew and I were literally just having this conversation the other night because we were just talking about different goals and what we think the business will do this year and what the vision is and all these different things. And we were kind of talking about like, well, when do I cut back? And like, would I enjoy cutting back? Do I have to cut back? Should I cut back? Should I pivot? Like all these different things. And I think that if you are aimless in what your enough point is, it's just easy to keep going, right? It's easy to keep saying more, more, more. And we are just having this really powerful conversation because there are so many people in my industry where they're just hungry. They want to continue to outdo themselves every single year, year over year. And I'm like, but what for? Like, what is it for? And so I've always tried to be very clear on like, this is my enough point. This is where like I say, okay, I'm good. I can cut back. And we're kind of in this season of like reestablishing what is that. Now, on the flip side of this, when is something not working? And like, when do we pull the plug on it? And like, what does that look like? Because I think too, some people get too deep into something or they're invested in it. It's like that sunk cost fallacy of like, well, I've already been going for this degree for 3 years. If I quit now, that's been a waste. But it's like, so you're going to waste the next 10 years of your life doing something you don't love. And so again, it's like, when is enough enough, or when is it not working? Like, how do we define those things and create boundaries around those things so that it's not a question mark? There's clarity there. And these are conversations that I'm having frequently with Drew. I'm having them with my friends, and I'm really just figuring out like boundaries on both ends of the spectrum of like, I'm going to invest in this thing and I'm going to test it out for X amount of months, and then I'm going to evaluate and make a decision, right? I'm being willing to experiment and I'm not holding the outcome too tightly. And so I just think that this is a really powerful thing because like for me, I tell the story in my book, when I hit burnout, I was making 6 figures. It had been this elusive goal. And when I hit it, I was just like dead. Like I felt like a shell of myself. And I decided I want to go back to making 50K a year. Like I was so much happier. I had time. I was able to be with the people I loved. And so that really helped me to understand that like, it's not always about more, more, more. So when is enough enough and when is it not working? Number 5 is, how much am I willing to invest to make a go at this? How many of you guys have seen Shark Tank? I love that show. I'm just a huge fan of Shark Tank. I'm so inspired by the entrepreneurs that go on it and the sharks. But how many of you guys have seen where like people are like all in, like they've refinanced their house or they've moved back in with their parents. They've put in their retirement savings. Like they've gone all in. Like I admire that. I am not that type of person. I do not like risk in that way. But I think that if you don't have a boundary or like a really clear line in the sand of like, how much am I actually willing to invest in this thing? It can get really, really scary. And so this is like setting parameters and boundaries around like, I am going to go up to this point. This is my comfort point. This is my enough point. And if it's not working or it's not worth it at that point, then we've got to either pivot or pull the plug. And so how much are you willing to invest? at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey as a wedding photographer, I was working my full-time job, but I also had a wedding to pay for and student loans. And we were not in a great financial situation, right? We're like fresh out of college, paying off my loans. I'm making 50K a year. I'm like trying to do all these things. And so I had to really establish quickly what is a nice to have and what is a need to have. Yes, I would have loved to have every single lens out there on the market for my camera, but that wasn't necessarily going to make me more money. I needed a website. I needed an accountant, some of those unsexy expenses. And so when you think about investing, ask yourself, is this a nice to have or a need to have? Is this essential for me being a business owner? Meaning I have an offer to sell and I have a way for somebody to purchase it. A lot of things are nice to have. Most of them are not need to haves at the beginning. And so I self-funded and bootstrapped the whole way. And I'm so thankful I did that. But really just get clear on establishing like how much am I willing to invest in this? And what does this look like? And when am I going to like fully evaluate if this is working or not? And then the last personal boundary that I think is very, very, very powerful, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, is when it comes to social media, what is considered personal and what is considered business? And I added this one in last minute because I was really thinking about like personal boundaries and what does this look like? And I think for a lot of us, especially if you run a personal brand, this area gets to be a shade of gray where it is very hard to establish like, am I scrolling on social media right now because I'm personally entertained? Or is it because I'm actually doing market research or creating a post? Am I shooting content on the weekends for business purpose or for personal, like, and just kind of creating a very clear sense of understanding of the role that social media is going to play. What is considered personal? What is considered business? Is it going to be a shade of gray for you? Is it going to be black and white? But what does that look like? And I think that for many of us, like it can be really hard if your part of your business is being on social media because it all feels like work, right? And so just creating those boundaries, at least for yourself to understand like, okay, I'm just going on social to scroll personally. I want to connect with my friends or I'm on here for a specific purpose for my business. And I think that can just be something that can be powerful to start to at least examine and think about in your life and maybe with your own social media use. Okay. So that's personal. Let's go to team. So I want to just say, I understand you might not have a team yet, but I want for you to still listen to this because if you don't have a team right now, but you are working on building something, there's a really good chance that in the future, you might have to hire someone or work with a contractor or have a virtual assistant or even have somebody in your family come on and help you. So just listen closely and tuck this in the back of your mind if you don't have a team. But if you have a team, this is so powerful. So first, for many entrepreneurs, most of us, we never really go into entrepreneurship imagining that we're going to have a team. And I don't know about you, but I never went to boss school. Having boundaries with your team and being super intentional about what that's going to look like is going to save you so much stress and frustration and heartbreak and probably money in the long run. So think through these things with me. So the first thing I want for you to think through is your communication style and how you prefer to communicate. So what's super interesting is that for the first few years, I only had like one team member, I had a virtual assistant. I mean, this was years into it. So for the first few years, it was just me, myself, and I. I was all the things, the support person, the marketer, the communicator, the everything. I was the everythinger. Then I had a virtual assistant. And we would communicate either via text or email. Now, as the years have gone on, my preferred style of communication with my team is Slack. We use a thing called Slack. It's free. It's basically like AOL Instant Messenger, but for businesses. I love it. You can set status updates. You can communicate. You can schedule messages. You can send voice memos, documents, links, all the things. I can't imagine doing my business without Slack, to be honest. Now, what is amazing is that we have created a very beautiful boundary-oriented team culture. So we do 4-day work weeks, so we don't work on Fridays. We do our best to really understand people's time zones and time needs. We schedule posts to go live when somebody is working. We pay attention to when somebody's light is green, which means they're on, and when it is off. And so getting very clear of like, this is how I prefer to communicate. This is my channel. For our team, we have a very strict policy of you cannot reach out to somebody's cell phone unless it's an emergency. The reason why is that when I'm with my kids, and if somebody were to text me about work, it can so quickly pull me out of the present moment and back into work. And it can give me that like sense of urgency that's likely not there. And so for me, Slack is on my computer. When I'm available, I'm watching it. When I'm off, I am off. I don't want to be thinking about work. And so I want the same thing for my team as I want for myself. So how do you prefer to communicate? Next, when are you going to be available? So you can set statuses. I want for you to communicate with your team. What is the expectation around when you will be available and on, and leverage things like scheduling messages, sharing calendar updates, requesting time off, just different things like that, so that you can really prepare for when someone is available and how to communicate with them in the most preferred method. Next is, what is your relationship with your team and contractors and employees going to look like? So are you only going to talk about work? Are you going to share personal life details? How are you going to communicate? What does it look like in terms of your personal relationship outside of work? How do you protect that and define that? Like, just thinking through, like, how do you want the culture to be with your team members, and how do you establish that or set boundaries around that? Some people don't want to talk about personal things. Some people do. I love knowing what's happening in my team's life, whether they're getting a new puppy or they're pregnant or they're planning a wedding. Like, I want to be a part of that. Like, I very much care about my team outside of what they do for the business. And so thinking through very thoughtfully, what boundaries do I need in place to protect the types of relationships that I want to have with my team? The next are, what are the expectations around work hours, holidays, time off, and sickness? So I've had to navigate how to figure out things like maternity leave, or if somebody is sick, or what does this look like? And so again, having boundaries and clear communication so that if somebody's sick, they don't feel like they need to get on or they need to get their computer. I had one team member who is so devoted to the business. She was in the hospital and she's like telling her husband to go get her her laptop. And I was like, if you dare bring her her computer, I will come and fly there and get it myself. Like, she needs to rest. And so just setting those expectations and clearly communicating it is going to help the team culture and the overall morale of your team, as well as just the understanding of what's expected. Okay. So for clients, let's talk about clients. So when I was starting out, I was accessible every hour of every day. I literally would not leave my house without my laptop. People would be texting me. I would get texts at like 10 p.m. asking for like a photo of me and Grandpa Frank on the dance floor. Like, I was so wildly available. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach. Now, towards the end, I learned the power of boundaries. And so I started setting these boundaries of like, I will give you, my bride, my phone number the week of your wedding. I'm not giving it to you 6 months out so that you can text me anytime you have a question. We can communicate through the channel that I prefer, which was email, so that we had everything tracked. And so that way I started to set the expectation, the week of your wedding, I'll give you my phone number. That way I'm wildly available for you that week. But it was just a more intentional and guarded and organized approach. That way I wasn't like, wait, did they send a text? Was this in an email? Was this in the contract? Everything was organized for me. And I set those boundaries very early on. So first, when can people expect to hear back from you? Setting expectations really early on and then reminding people of when they can expect to hear back, using things like a schedule, an autoresponder. Like, we have the most bad A, I don't want to swear in case your littles are around, bad A autoresponder out there. People literally say they'll like email me just to see the autoresponder because it's so powerful. We've thought about, if somebody's emailing, here are like the five main things they might need from us. Here's how we can link it up for them, express when they can expect to hear back, give them details on what they might be looking for. Most of the time, people don't even need a response after they get our autoresponder. But again, it's just setting those boundaries of like, this is when we're available to answer your questions. This is when we'll be online. The next thing you need to create a boundary on with clients is, are you willing and able to offer discounts or free offers? So very early on, I had a lot of people in my life, like family members and friends, who wanted photos. And I really burned myself a few times because I would give them a steep discount and I recognized that did not work for me. Why? Because I felt undervalued and they still felt like a paying client who should get the same experience as a full paying client. So I made a decision pretty early on. I said, you're either going to fully pay and you'll get the full experience, or I'm going to do everything for free and the ball is in my court in terms of what that looks like. That was so helpful for me because it removed that shade of gray that often created icky feelings or frustrations on any end. And so figure out, am I willing to offer discounts or free offers? And what does that look like? And really create boundaries around that and how you communicate around that. And then lastly, create a boundary around how you handle a dissatisfied client. What is your plan if somebody's unhappy with their purchase? Are you going to refund? Are you going to enforce policies? And here's a pro tip here. Make that plan before you experience someone who's unhappy. It is so much easier to create a plan when you are less emotional about the situation. So just create a boundary around what that's going to look like and what you're comfortable with. I always tell my team, if you can fix anything with $500 or less, you don't even have to tell me about it. Do it. And so that's been really helpful because I'm like, I don't need those details. Like, just fix it if you can and give people good experiences. Okay. The last area is entrepreneurship. Having boundaries that you put in place as you put yourself out there in a vulnerable way is so important and something we don't often consider. And I just want to touch on this piece of things because I think we can often think of boundaries in ways that I've already discussed. But the deeper I get, the more I recognize the power of boundaries while you're in pursuit of your dreams and likely going to be exposing yourself to new levels of everything, new levels of hopefully money, new levels of feedback, like whether you're asking for it or not. New levels, new problems. And so how do we navigate some of the more vulnerable and challenging parts of chasing your dreams? Let's talk about it. So first, what parts of your life are you going to give people access to? So for me, as I was growing, I was an open book. Like if you've been following me since the early days, I have shared basically everything, right? I have put myself out there. I've put my body out there. I've put my miscarriages out there. I've put the areas I've messed up in. I've messed up a lot. I've messed up publicly, like all of the things. And as I've matured and even as I've entered into like this stage of motherhood in my life, I've kind of pulled back in terms of what I'm willing to give people access to. I don't share my kids' faces online anymore. We made that decision a year ago. It's felt so good and right for us. I often don't share my friends on my account. I often don't share places that I go. I just feel like the most sacred parts of my life right now in this stage of life are lived and experienced offline, where in the past, everything was very public. And who knows, maybe it'll change again. But like right now, I am protecting the sacred in my life. And I've just kind of reestablished a boundary around what areas of my life I'm going to give people access to. The next thing is how are you going to filter feedback and criticism? And this one has been a really hard one for me, especially when it comes to boundaries. I am very sensitive and I have been doing so much work in therapy lately to unpack all of that sensitivity, but I'm getting really clear on whose opinions am I valuing? What am I doing with the feedback or the criticism? How am I approaching it? And how do they all play out in my day-to-day life? Like what noise do I give that in my life? And how do I set boundaries around what that is? The next thing is how are you going to make decisions around different opportunities, different invitations, different partnerships? I have really brought in this idea of le pause, which is a French idea. It was actually something I read about in like a parenthood book, but taking a beat before I make decisions on other people's opportunities. I want to evaluate a day from now when I can like get in touch with myself and say, does this still feel like the right fit? Are they aligned with my values? Is this the right step in the right direction for me and my mission? And so setting boundaries around how you make bigger decisions and even smaller ones can really help for you to evaluate. So like I like to sit with things for 24 hours. My team now knows, like, don't expect me to make a fast decision. I want to pause for a minute and then check in with myself. And I think that's been really, really helpful at just making sure that I'm saying yes to the right things and that they're the hell yeses and not the things that I dread later on. And then lastly, how will you handle negativity, negative comments, online bullies? Like what is your tolerance going to be if a troll comments on your post? Or what is the boundary going to be for you, for your social media and access to you? Are you going to delete comments? Are you going to block people? Like what is that boundary for you? And how do you decide? And it's different for everyone. Like it totally is. But I think a lot of times we don't even think about these things until they start showing up in our lives. And then we're like, I don't know what to do. What do I do here? And so this is why I want for you to think through this before. Okay. Now that we've covered the ins and the outs of setting boundaries, it is time for you to take action. Consider the areas of your life and your business that are screaming at you to create boundaries and start there. And remember, I want for you to know that like you can evaluate, change, shift, and evolve your boundaries at any time. These are yours. These are your ways of protecting what is most sacred to you. Boundaries are not about building walls. They are about creating clarity as you navigate work and life in a way that supports the most sacred aspects of you and your life. So as you go about your day to day, take a moment to reflect on where you might need to create and reinforce boundaries, and do not be afraid to communicate them clearly and confidently. They are yours and yours alone. The people that love and respect you are going to respect these boundaries that you're placing in your life. I hope today's episode was super helpful. Ask yourself all these questions and so many more. And of course, until next time, gold diggers, keep on digging your biggest goals.
I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.